I've heard people say, if you're going to help others, you must first help yourself. And on one level, that's kind of true. I mean, if you picture yourself in an airplane and you get the, you know, the speech about if the airbags come out, and you're traveling with somebody who cannot help themselves, you better put the air mask on first. Otherwise, you will both pass out. But I've also heard that said as a means of, or an excuse, to be selfish. So picture that air mask as our connection to God. And we need to be connected to God to truly help others, no doubt.
Amen.
But if you're connected to God, that is not going to lead you to a selfish life. Can you imagine Jesus going to the cross and saying, sorry, God, I can't. I need a me day. I've got to go to the spa, Lord. I can't do that right now. See, if you're connected with God, it is going to be about laying down your life. Because that's who God is. Now, picture Jesus in the garden. He's about to face something that is horrible. And he goes to God in prayer. He's taking down the air mask and putting it on. He's connecting with the Father so that he can better go and serve all of mankind.
Amen.
Please bow with me. Almighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we're blessed beyond words. Thank you. We're blessed to be here. We're blessed to be called your children. Thank you. Pray, Lord, that at this moment that you'll be with me, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. May you be praised, Almighty God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Sometimes it may seem like Jesus is being a little bit repetitive. I mean, he seems, as Gary mentioned, he talks about love a lot. And we could approach that and we could say, oh, I've heard this all before. Or we could say, you know what, there may be just something really important for me to get here. I'm not sure we can talk about love enough. Or too much. Verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. I think it's important to start there. Jesus loves you. And then he says, okay, since I love you, as the Father loves me, I love you, abide in my love. Now it comes to a decision on your part. What are you going to do with the love of Jesus? It's there for you. What are you going to do? Jesus' advice is, dwell, live. Jesus' love is something you can live in.
Amen.
Dwell in the love of Jesus. And then he says, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. How do we know if we're abiding in the love of Jesus? We keep his commandments. He does not say, if you keep my commandments, I will love you. No, the love's already there.
That's right.
We abide in the love of Jesus when we keep his commandments. Obedience and love go together. And that's something that our culture desperately needs to hear. Because somewhere along the line, we've decided that love is about loving people and just not even being concerned about what they do. But that's not what love is. Again, I think the parable of the prodigal son is a good example. When that young man left his father and went to the far country, his father's love was always there, but his relationship with his father was cut. He was no longer in a relationship with his father. That's why when he comes back, the father says he was dead and now he's alive. The relationship is there again. The love of Jesus is always going to be there for you. Praise God.
That's right.
Amen.
But you will not be in that relationship. You will not enjoy. You will not tap into the love of Jesus until you lay down your life and then live for Jesus and keep His commandments. And He says, I'm the example of this. I have kept the commandments of the Father. And in the Gospel of John, especially over and over again, Jesus says, the things that I say, the things that I do, are not from me, they are from the Father. How did Jesus abide in the love of God? He obeyed God.
That's right.
And so if we're going to follow His example, then we're going to do the same. And then He says, I speak all these things so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be made full. Joy. Here's the amazing thing about that word. There are people in the world that have no relationship with God that may be happy. We need to be honest about that. People in the world can have a joy, but their joy will never be complete without the joy of Jesus Christ. And there's another thing I think we need to understand is that when my joy is coupled with the joy of Jesus, my joy is complete. That may look different than somebody else's joy. We need to be real about that. Because I have a friend, you guys, some of you know him, his name is Bruce Goodwin. He is not just naturally a very bubbly person. He'll be the first to tell you that he will gravitate more towards the scriptures that deal with being broken. And so, but I believe that his joy is complete because the joy of Jesus is combined with his joy. And it's been made full. And I need to be careful because just because I'm the kind of guy that my joy is going to make me jump up and down, and Bruce is not going to do that. And as humans, we sometimes look at that and we say, well, that person must not have the joy of Jesus. Because they don't respond the way I do. That's not what this is about. This is about Jesus taking the joy that is in you. Some people are naturally born bubbly people. And they look at life as if it was just one big amusement park. Take that with the joy of Jesus and then their joy will be made full. Some people are naturally born a little bit more, what's the word? Sober? Thank you. But when you take that joy that they have and combine it with the joy of Jesus, their joy is made full. I think this is a promise. I know it is. He says, I'm telling you this because I want my joy to be in you so that your joy may be made complete.
Amen.
Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So this is my commandment. Remember, obedience and love go together, but notice what the commandment of Jesus is. Love one another. I know that Jesus has other commandments, but the one he's really wanting to focus in on is love one another. And not just love one another, but love one another the way I love you.
Mm.
The word love means to cherish. And I think that's important because I've heard a lot of people make excuses here. They think love means barely tolerate. You've been in those churches, haven't you? And you've met those brothers and sisters, right? And they'll say, well, I love him, but I just can't stand him. Is that the way Jesus loves you?
No.
I don't think so. The command is love one another the way Jesus loves you. And then he goes on to explain what that is. Greater love has no one than to lay down a life for a friend. Jesus is not the first one to say that. Aristotle, he said, if you have a true friendship, you will do anything for that friend, and if necessary, you will lay down your life. Plato said much the same. But I think it looks different in the life of Jesus. Because Jesus really did it. But I think it's more than that, because this word lay down, it can have a different meaning. It can mean to set aside, and the word life is soul. He could be saying that this is the greatest love you can have, is to set aside your soul for a friend. Those of you who are mothers in the audience, you know exactly what I'm talking about. See, when your child is sick at night, you don't sit there and say, you know what, I'm going to be better able to help you if I get some sleep. You stay up. You lay aside your soul. That's what love does. See, last November, my son almost died. That doesn't even seem real to me. But that's real. He almost died. The hospital said, we want to send him home. Do you have somebody that can take care of this big gaping wound? My wife laid aside her soul.
Amen. Praise God.
And she took care of that wound twice a day.
Amen.
For months. She didn't sit there and say, you know, it'd be better off for you if I go home and take care of myself. She set aside her soul because that's what mothers do. That's what love does.
Amen.
Right.
Jesus says, this is the greatest love you will ever experience, is this moment where you understand that love is setting aside your soul for a friend. And then he says, and you are my friends if you keep my commandments. Conditional friendship? What? Yeah.
That's right.
And again, I think the prodigal son kind of illustrates this. Jesus is saying, if you are obeying my commandments, you are in relationship with me and you are my friend. See, we know on one level, Jesus laid down or set aside his soul for all people. But those who truly understand it are his friends. Because they're the ones who are keeping his commandments. They're the ones that are living and dwelling in that love. Verse 15. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. No longer do I call you slaves. And this is really interesting because one of Paul's favorite descriptions of himself is slave of Christ. Some of our translations translates bondservant or servant of Christ, but the word he uses is the same word Jesus uses here. Slave of Christ. So we got it. Wow, what is he talking about? Matter of fact, if you call Jesus Lord, that word means master. If you call Jesus Lord, you are claiming to be his slave. Sometimes we may not think about that, but that really is what the word means. It means somebody who possesses and is in control of property, which includes people in their vernacular. So when we call Jesus Lord, on one level, we are saying we are slaves of Christ along with our brother Paul. So what is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the relationship. He's talking about more than... He's saying when I give you a command, it's not just do this because I said so. How many of you heard that from your parents growing up? Man, I told myself I'm not going to say that to my kids. You know how long that lasts. Okay, but here's the thing. My dad was really good about explaining why. He was really good about saying this is why, and he often did this in the midst of us getting spanked. To be honest, sometimes we're like, Dad, could you just spank us and get over with the why? We don't want to hear it. But he wanted us to understand why he wanted us to do the things that we were doing or not do the things that we had done. See, the times in my life when I told my kids because I said so is because after I had tried to explain to them 10,000 times, they were still saying, why? And so I just got to the place where I said, because I said so, and now you made me sound like my dad. Jesus is saying that when I'm explaining you this, everything that the Father has given to me, I am sharing the information with you. He is not asking us just to obey because he said so. I mean, on one level, we need to have that relationship with God, right? God said so. I might not fully understand it, but he said so. But on the other level, God has given us the information we need. Why do I need to love? Because Jesus loves me. He's explained it all to us. He's telling us what great love is. Great love is a setting aside of your soul.
That's right.
And if you want to love great, that's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
He doesn't just say love and do it because I'm your master and I told you to. That's the relationship between a master and a slave. Okay. Slave doesn't get to know why. But a friend does. Cindy and I have been watching the show Longmire. And Walt Longmire, the main character, he's got a nice name. That's why we watch it. He's the sheriff. And his deputy, Victoria, they call her Vic, when he would tell her to do stuff, she would often question. And Cindy and I are watching this and going, what a horrible deputy she is. But the problem is they were friends. And as a friend, she thought she had the right to know why. See, what Jesus is saying is that he is more than just our master. He is that, but he's more than that. He's also our friend. And he has given us all the information we need. He didn't just come down and say, do this and do it because I said so. He said, do this because this is what it means to be in a relationship with a holy God. He's given us the information we need. And then he goes on and says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. That's caused a lot of discussion because for some people that sounds like predestination. Well, that sounds like Calvinistic predestination. Calvinistic predestination is Calvin believed that God chose certain people. You are saved. Let's say he just did it this way. This side of the auditorium saved, this side lost. You have no chance. Kidder wants me to reverse that. Okay. Reverse that. This side, you guys are okay. Okay, there's a lot of passages in the Bible where we know that's not what God did. The invitation to come to know God goes out to everybody.
Amen.
This is how God chooses. But I love what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says about being a disciple. He says, you do not choose to be the disciple of Jesus. Jesus chooses you. And what he means by that is if you choose, you get to dictate the terms. When Jesus comes to you and says, follow me, he says, follow me. You don't get to dictate the terms. So in that way, Jesus chooses, and he chooses all people. Right? Amen? That's what we believe, right?
That's right.
Some people have gotten around this by saying, well, here he's only talking to the apostles. I don't think so. The very next thing he says is, I have chosen you and appointed you. And here's where it gets interesting, because it's the same word that's translated in verse 13 is lay down your life. And again, I think he's using it in the commercial technical term for setting aside something. Sometimes you set aside something because it's no longer good and you want to get rid of it. Sometimes you set it aside to purchase a specific something. Okay. Jesus is saying, I have set you aside that you would bear fruit.
That's right.
That's why I think when he says, lay down your life, he means set aside your soul. I've set you aside because I want you to bear fruit. And when you bear fruit in the kingdom of God, that fruit remains.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I don't know if you guys have ever done this. You buy some fruit and you don't get through it before it's rotten. When you bear fruit for God, that doesn't happen. Your fruit remains. But there's another issue here too, is when God calls us, when he chooses us, he is setting us aside, which by the way is one of the definitions of what it means to be holy. He is setting us aside to bear fruit. Being a Christian is not wearing a name.
That's right.
Now let me explain that, because it is wearing a name. But when the early church talked about wearing the name Christ, what they meant was bearing the name and all it stood for, and it shapes you and makes you who you are. And if that's what you do, then you will bear fruit. He has set us aside to bear fruit. He never intended to call us to a life of easy chair living. He called us to bear fruit. And again, like we mentioned before, we want to put a specific thing on there. What does that mean? I'm not sure we need to do that, because all we need to know is that if you're in a relationship with God, if you're abiding in his love, God is going to produce some things in your life. Now, specifically in this context, you're going to love. That's bearing fruit in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And then he says, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. And we've got to deal with this. Please, sometimes I think he said this. This is the third time he said something similar to this. And each time I tried to come in and say, look, Jesus is not saying that you get to tell God what to do. Right? Some people, that's how they take it. If you pray with enough faith, then God's going to give you whatever you're asking for. I heard a preacher say one time that if my people hear me pray for a Cadillac, I better get a Cadillac. And he believed that was God answering his prayer. That's people being put in a state of fear of you. See, my concern is that we take the words of Jesus and we make it all about this earth. Our time on this earth is temporary and not the focus.
That's right.
We are citizens of heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in the context, Jesus is saying, if you're abiding in my love, if you're keeping my commandments, and the flow of love from God to me to you, and that's where you're living, you will be bearing fruit. And in that, when you ask of the Father, He will give it to you. So if you ask God, I want to bear fruit, you will bear fruit. And here's what I think we should do that. Now, this is just my idea. I think we should probably leave it up to God what the fruit is going to be. Because sometimes we are like, you know what, God, I really want to bear fruit in, you know, whatever, this or that and that. Can we just say, Lord, I want you to be glorified and I want to bear fruit for your holy name. God will give you that. Every time. And then he ends again with, this is the command that I give you. Love one another.
Amen.
So we begin to understand this is pretty important stuff. Because, you know, back in Jesus' day, they had as much problem with it as we do. Right? But God, you mean... Do you mean that brother or sister that's always disagreeing with me? You guys probably don't have that brother or sister. It's probably just me, but
yeah, right.
All of them. Love one another. The apostle who most likely wrote this gospel, it is told that at the end of his life, as he was an old man living in Ephesus, he couldn't even get to church on his own. He had to be helped. And they would always ask him, give us a word. Give us a word, John. And his word was always, love one another. And somebody said, why is that always what you tell us? Things. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
And if you get that one down, the rest will probably fall into place.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You can be right as right can be. If you don't have love, you're wrong. I hope that makes sense. I have a friend whose mother-in-law is, you know, getting all frustrated in the direction that people are going in the church and stuff like this. And she'll have this long list and she'll go on the attack of what they're doing, what they're saying and all that. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with being concerned about those issues. But he asked her one time, do you love them? Sometimes we get so worked up about being right that we forget to love, and we can be right as right can be, and if we're not loving, we're wrong. Love one another. It's not a suggestion. It's a command that Jesus gives over and over again. Love one another. And in our culture that is divided over so many things, political views, racial issues, how are we going to be the light of Jesus if we fall right into the same stuff? Let's love one another. And let's love one another the way that Jesus loved. Let's love in a way that sets aside our soul. I don't know anybody but Jesus that did that perfectly. But that's our goal. That's what we're shooting for.
That's right.
Love one another in the way that sets aside our soul for the other person. How are we going to do that? You cannot do that if you don't have the mask that connects you to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus the Son, They're the ones if you have no relationship with them, you're not going to be able to do this. You will not bear fruit. You might be able to do some good things.
No.
But you will not bear fruit in the kingdom of God. So yeah. Make sure your relationship with God is what it needs to be. And if it is, good news. You will be loving like Jesus loved. If there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers for any reason, we are not the gathering of the perfect. We are the gathering of the forgiven. We're on a path that is drawing us closer and closer to our God, the Father. And if you're struggling with something right now, do not think that you are the only one that has struggles. We all do. If you need prayers, we would love to pray with you. If you want to know more about our God that loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. We'd love to come.